We're looking tonight back in the Scriptures, the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles. It's a period in the life of David where he has just been anointed as king. Saul has been killed by the enemies, and David has been anointed king. David is blessed by God. David has taken the position of leadership that God had spoken to him about long before, but it was a process of time before he received the kingdom. But he does, and in chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, David has brought the ark to Jerusalem. It's been set in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. And it says there that they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And then when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He gave, then the following verse tells us, he gave food to the people, supplied their needs. People were gathering in great numbers to celebrate this great occasion. The Ark of the Covenant returned to Jerusalem, and brought to Jerusalem, and they are offering sacrifices to God. It's a time of great joy. Verse 4, and he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And so here they are giving thanks to God. And it says in verse 7 that on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren, to thank the Lord. And it begins, O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works. So here we have a picture of David's thankful heart. He's filled with joy at what has finally been able to occur. The tabernacle of the Lord has come to Jerusalem. It would be good to remember that the tabernacle of the Lord had been separated from this place and had not been in the dwelling place of the king, certainly, because over 40 years prior to this, the ark had been taken by the Philistines, had been recaptured, but then had been taken to a different location and was kept in a household. And it had been there for over 40 years. But now, their celebration. But it's interesting because before we read about David's thankful heart, it was preceded by David's heart that was angry and afraid. In chapter 13, what we read is that David had attempted to take the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem on an earlier occasion, but had failed. Couldn't do so. Because the Bible tells us that he was anointed king. He consulted with the captains. Chapter 13, verse 1. He saw that it was something that they ought to do. The will of God is mentioned in verse 2. And he said, you know, we haven't inquired of God from the Ark of the Covenant since the days of Saul. So everybody agreed this was the right thing to do. Verse 4. And so they begin the process, but as you know, this is the occasion when the ark was carried on a new cart from the house of Abinadab. This is where it had been for over 40 years. And Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. These were the sons of Abinadab. And there was great celebration. They were playing music. They were playing the instruments there. And as they began to make their way along, it says that they came to Chidon's threshing floor, and Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand on the ark, and he died there before the Lord. So here they are in the midst of celebration, thinking this is wonderful. The ark is going to the capital city, to the city of David, to Jerusalem. And we are celebrating this wonderful occasion. And as they're going, a man drops dead because he's touched the ark. And David's response, you see there in verse 11, David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was, verse 12, afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? So David is sort of confused. What's happening? Why is this occurring? God has killed this man. We're trying to do a good thing, and the man has died. David's angry about it, but he's also afraid of, you know, what is this has happened for some reason. So in the end, there's thanksgiving and celebration. But before all that happens, there's anger and there's fear. That is followed then, if you notice from chapter 15, by a heart that was corrected and a heart that was compliant. David understood later what had gone wrong. We read, of course, David's mentality toward God's Word. In the 119th Psalm, verse 59 and 60, David says there, I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste, and I did not delay to keep your commandments. That's the proper attitude toward any time we drift away from God, when we don't do His will, when we come to the realization after reflecting upon His Word that we have been astray. The idea is we come back to God, we consider what we need to do, and we correct ourselves. We draw near to God's Word. And that's here what David does. Because as they prepare, David did. He prepared a place for the Ark of God, chapter 15, verse 1. Pitched a tent for it. But notice what David says. No one may carry the Ark of God but the Levites. For the Lord has chosen them to carry the Ark of God and to minister before Him forever. You could even write down in the margin of your Bible at that point, the silence of the law is prohibitive. Think about what David is saying here. God had said, this is who is supposed to transport the ark. David's conclusion, and rightly so, was that no one else can carry the ark because God has said, here's who can. Nobody else is authorized to do so. The silence of the law was prohibitive. And they learned that lesson in a very tragic way. But we also see here in this same chapter the words of David beginning in verse 11. He calls for the priests, Zadok and Abiathar. And then for a number of the Levites here who are of the family of Kohath. And these are the ones who were authorized to bear the ark. And not only do you have to have the people authorized to bear the ark, you have to bear the ark in the authorized manner. And so it says in verse 12, he said to them, you're the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us, because we did not consult Him about the proper order. It would be good if the world today would think in that manner toward all things done in the name of God, in the name of religion, that people would consult God about the proper order, how things according to His will are to be done. Because it doesn't matter what we think, what everybody thinks is a great idea, it matters what God has spoken and what He said. And if we, because we haven't been with or in the Scriptures and we've forgotten the manner in which it's supposed to be done, that's not going to be an excuse that God considers, you know, is going to do us any good. Because in this case, as we saw earlier, a man died because they didn't do it properly. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. So here, as throughout the Scriptures, it is emphasized things must be done according to God's Word. As He has spoken, so we must do. And that principle has never changed. You want to be in the good grace of God? You want to find the hope of eternal life, something that you have realized that you possess? Then do as has always been done. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Why? Because he did all things according to the commandments of God there in Genesis chapter 6, where he followed the pattern and built the ark just as God told him. The same theme is found over and over again, and here is just one of many examples. When they did things according to God's will, they found success. The ark made its way to Jerusalem. The celebration began, and the words of David in thanksgiving were lifted up in the psalm recorded there in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We can have thankful hearts this very day because God has given us and preserved His Word by which we can know the truth which will make us free. Free from the consequences of sin, free from the practice and persistence in error, because the truth illuminates our way so that we can see and know how to please God and how to get to heaven and how to do things the right way, because there is a right way. And may each one of us do all that we can to help others, our friends, families, and neighbors, to come to a knowledge of the right way of the Lord by leading them in the path that He shows us. Tonight, if you're not yet a Christian, we urge you to think about where you stand this very hour. Have your sins been washed away? Have you been baptized? As the Bible teaches, you must be, so that you can be cleansed of all your past sins. Because unless you're baptized, you're lost. That's what the Bible teaches. But that need not be the case, because it's so plainly explained through the examples we have in the book of Acts and the explicit teaching throughout the gospel accounts and in the epistles as well, as to what God requires of us. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism bring us into the family of God. Faithful living makes sure that we stay in the good grace of God. And if tonight you need to respond to the Lord's invitation to be baptized or to come home to your Father, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.